Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Zombies Radio. This is Matthew, broadcasting from New York this week on a little bit of a vacation, so we're kind of tossing things up here, doing things a little different. But as always, we're ready to go. Got a couple great guests, and my world-class co-host is ready to go, Mr. Spencer Kirksey, Pablo Diablo, live from the great state of Ohio. How you doing, buddy?
I'd like to think I'm world-class. Thank you for that. But I am not in New York. I am where I always am, the great state of Ohio, because we're so entertaining here.
That state's so great that the greatest basketball player in the world wanted nothing to do with it. I take that back. I couldn't care less for him as a basketball player. Anyways, that's not what we're about. We're about MMA, man. So as always, it is Thursday night, and we're ready to go. We got two awesome guests tonight. We're doing a little bit of a shorter show because I am on vacation. My resources are limited where I'm at right now, so we still wanted to bring some MMA to you guys. We hate to not do the show. So we have Sean Hollis, who's getting ready to fight at RFC 28 next weekend in Tampa, Florida. And then we've got Joby Sanchez, who's getting ready to fight. I believe he's fighting at XFC 25 in a couple months out in Albuquerque. So two great guests. Like I said, a little bit of a shorter show. We're just doing an hour this week. But next week we'll be back to our full two-hour show. We do not like to rob the MMA fans of great MMA radio. And, of course, there's nothing but world-class greatness here at Cage Zombies Radio. And that starts with our sponsors, man. Spencer, you want to give some shout-outs to our sponsors real quick before we get rolling?
Oh, no, dude, that's all you. I know you're in New York, but, man, that's all you.
Put me on the spot, man. I ain't even got a computer in front of me. Listen, here, BrawlBase.com, DracoSports.com, GameChangerNow.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, Jax Media Canada. Check them out, at Jax Media Canada on Twitter. ProAmBelts.com, the absolute best belts in the business. And you want the best MMA gear? Let me tell you real quick about this. You heard a little bit of a shout out to the sponsor Intimidation as we got rolling here. But let me tell you a fact. I put on a couple of Intimidation shirts this week. Got them in the mail, and absolutely the best, most comfortable T-shirt I ever put on. So IntimidationClothing.com if you want great MMA gear. I was rocking it all throughout New York yesterday. I'm going to be rocking it again. Absolutely love the gear. Check them out, Intimidation Clothing. And then, of course, GatorMMA.com. You know, great gym out here in Port Richey, Florida. Got some awesome things going. And check them out. Right away, we're jumping in with Nightmare, Mr. Sean Hollis. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. It's an honor to talk to you. I know, for those that don't know, I had you on a show of mine early on and been itching to get you back on. Been following along, making sure and finding out when your next fight was, and here we are about a week and a half out from another fight from Nightmare, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. Training hard, man. Fight camp's going good. Weight's well. I'm ready. I'm ready to go, man.
Right on, man. Are you fighting at light heavyweight again?
Sure. That's why I'm always going to be at 205.
Right on, man. And your opponent, is it Joe Puncher Johnson? Is that who you're fighting?
No. This guy's name is Ronnie Phillips. Ronnie the Hybrid Phillips. He's out of the somewhere in the Winter Haven area, something like that. This will be his pro debut. So he's making his pro debut. I think he was maybe like a 2-3 amateur guy, something like that. So.
Right on, man. Now, have you been able to watch any fight video on him, study on him up at all, or are you just pretty much?
I usually leave that in my coach's hands. I really don't like to look at the videos of my opponents or whatever. I trust my coaches over at Gracie Tampa South, and they know how to break film down and look at the film and things like that. And then, of course, I'll kind of like understand what I'm facing because they'll tailor the fight camp after that. You know, we may be doing a whole lot of stand up, a lot of wrestling, you know, a lot of clinch and things like that. And then it'll be counterintuitive to what I need to do in the cage. So. Whatever they do and tell me, I follow that. I trust their decisions, stuff like that. I don't like to get into, like, watching too much film,
though,
you know, so.
Yeah. Now, when we last spoke, when we had you on the show, that was back in my old school days, I believe. That was the third or fourth episode of Cage Fire Radio. You were training out of Banks MMA, and I know some things have changed. Some of the guys have moved around, and you did mention you're fighting at a Gracie Tampa South. What's it been like since you joined the Gracie Tampa South team?
Oh man, it's awesome. There's a variety of course, there's a bigger gym. There's a variety of people that I can train with and cross train with as well. Lots of professionals. Grace the gym, come in and out of the doors all the time. There's several times a bunch of UFC guys might come train. You know, who knows who will pop up in there. Historically, you know, the gym is known for producing a lot of UFC fighters and things of that nature. Of course, Matt Arroyo is a UFC veteran. And it's just awesome, man. Eric Parker is one of the best striking coaches in the business. Our wrestling coach is an Olympic alternate. So I've got an array of training talent that's right there for me. You know, it's just like I'm a kid in a candy store, man. So. A fighter, you would love to be in that kind of environment, you know, with that capacity of training.
With people like that, do you feel that gives you the edge in any fight?
You mean as far as the training, the teachers or my teammates?
The caliber of training partners you get in and out every day.
Yeah, I think that's going to make you better. I think that if you're in a facility where you're training with the same individuals all the time, you know, you're going to know each other's moves all the time. You're going to know each other's, how each other's, you know, strike and things like that. You're not really growing. So it's good to get your butt kicked every now and then in training. You know what I'm saying? If you're winning every time you're sparring, you know, with the same guy, you know, how are you going to grow? So you have to, you know, be challenged every time you train. You got to be challenged. That's the only way you're going to get, you know, progress in your talent and your skills. You got to, you know, be tested every single time. So the higher the level of competition that comes in and trains with you, that's the best. I mean, top of the food chain is what you want to do. You want to train at the top of the food chain all the time.
That's very true. Now, do you prefer the different people coming in and out rather than just a set team?
With that, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, like, for example, you can go train in another gym. You know, of course, there may be pros over there as well, but the guys don't have control. It's good to have your own set of guys, you know, your own set of teammates who train hard with you but train smart, and they're not trying to, like, you know, out-macho you or try to hurt you or whatever. A lot of professionals don't have control when they train. They don't know how to, you know, train at a level of 60-70% at the same time, you know, push it. You know, they want to go 100% all the time, and that's where injuries occur. So I recommend both. But you just got to really be careful with the group of guys that you train that you're not used to training with if they're not your teammates. You know, so I think you need both. It's really good to have a good niche, you know, a good set of teammates is what I have now. Plus, you know, other guys, pros coming in who are, you know, maybe bigger than you, who's been doing it maybe got 20 more fights over you, got maybe way more experience than you got. You need that as well. But it's also you want to make sure that they have control because they don't have any control. Then boom, you're injured, you know. So,
Now, yeah. We were talking before we went live with you about your victory. Last July was that a while back? But there was some controversy, not in the way that did you win or not, but was it a knockout? Was it a TKO? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was told that it was a TKO by the boxing commission. My question, I asked them why. I'm like, my guy went face down, tails in the air, and he was out. I mean, you know, he was out for a brief, maybe 4 or 5 seconds. Then a ref goes over there and gets him up. Then he sits up. You know, he still couldn't even get up for a while. He was still there. He was still kind of knocked out. So they was like, anytime the referee stops you from engaging on the opponent, it's a technical knockout. You know, it's not a KO. I'm like, I'm not understanding what you're saying. I mean, I knocked him out. It was a KO. But you know, a finish is a finish. You know what I mean? I plan on getting a KO this fight. So there won't be any questions, you know, once this happens. So that's just my goal. I'm just making known that, hey, a KO is a KO in my book. So, but if you guys want to give me a TKO, it's still a finish. It doesn't matter. So
I'm sure that's a problem a lot of fighters wish to have, whether a finish is a KO or a TKO.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a finish is a finish. I mean, you know, we train as fighters not to take it to the judge anyway, the judges. So, I mean, but to for them to tell you that it's not a KO, okay, so be it. I still finish the guy. So, you know.
And speaking of that, Sean, like, I actually, at the fight I was at last weekend, you know, there's guys that, when you're saying, as fighters, you're training to finish fights. You don't ever want to leave it in the judge's hands because who knows what kind of a decision the judge is going to make. Now, a fight I was at last weekend, a couple of the fights, one specifically, went to the judges because in the third round, the two fighters didn't really engage each other. Now, the guy on the losing end, you know, he's a bit unhappy. His team was unhappy. As a fighter, and you basically answered the question before I asked it, but as a fighter, you don't ever want to leave it to the judges. What do you have to say? I mean, as for a fighter who, in that case, if they do leave it for the judges, what's your opinion on whether they have the right to argue it or whether the right to fight the decision, or is it the fact that
you leave it to the
judges? Go ahead.
You really can't argue that because, first and foremost, you train. I mean, your fight happens in the gym. I mean, your fight really is the term. Your fight is actually won in the gym, not really in the cage. What happens in the cage is the result of your training. So if a guy shuts down, you know, third round, if it's a title fight in the fourth or fifth round, later rounds, it's because his cardio. That's one thing as a fighter you can control is your cardio, you know, and your conditioning. So for you to shut down like that and then, like, run the whole entire next round because you don't want to engage, then you're not really fighting anymore. You're not fighting. You're an MMA fighter. A fighter is you fight every single round. So, you know, it's not ballet like my coach Eric Parker was always saying when sparring. He was like, this is not ballet, and it's not. No, it's you're fighting. So when we train to, you know, engage every single round as hard as we possibly can every single round. That's the only way you're going to be able to do the same thing inside of a live fight. So, you know, you can't argue that. If a guy wants to dance and play around and play, you know, pity pat or whatever, he shouldn't argue the results. I mean, you lose. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Now as also as a fighter, when you see some young guys coming in my opinion, I view a fighter's job. I mean, once a fighter steps in the cage, that's a whole different. That's like the second phase. I think for the first phase for fighters, it's your job to train. It's your job to make weight. And a lot of times you got guys who don't take making weight as importantly and respectfully as they should. From a fighter standpoint, how do you view that? You know, if you're training for a guy and you come in, you're supposed to be at 205. You step on the scale, you're at 205. Your opponent skips on the scale and he's at about 212. What's your view on that? Is disrespect or unsportsmanlike? How do you feel about that?
It's disrespect. First of all, you represent – not only yourself, you represent your school, you know, you represent your teammates, you represent MMA as a community, you know what I mean, when you're a fighter. So when you take a fight, you sign that contract, the contract tells you what weight you should be at, or what you're going to weigh in at, 205, 185, whatever. I know some commissions you get like a pound or, whatever, a pound here, a pound there, to, you know, you know, like if I can weigh in at 206 from 205, but I've always taught to like at least be 204, 203, you know, maybe a pound under or right on, spot on. That just shows my other opponent that, hey, I respect the fact that you bust your behind, you cut weight, you took all the hours, you sacrificed, you know what I'm saying, your you know, blood, sweat, and tears of cutting, and because it's not easy to make weight all the time. It's hard. Cutting weight is not an easy process. So it's very draining. It's very strenuous on the body. So you're respecting your opponent as well. You're respecting your opponent's school. You're respecting your opponent's instructors and everything because they did the same thing that you had to go through. You know, it's so disrespectful to not make weight. It's just blatantly disrespectful. So,
yeah.
You know, it's unprofessional. And that's the amateur move. You know, a lot of guys in amateur, of course, I see it all the time in amateur shows, guys don't make weight, and they have to get off the scale and go run and put their sauna suit on. I've seen guys come to the weigh-ins with their sauna suits on, like they already knew they were going to make weight. So that's just disrespectful. That's laziness. That's sloppy. And it's also not the fighter. It's also a mark on the school, too, wherever they're training at. So,
yeah.
And that's a lack of discipline, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Couldn't agree more. Now after you left Banks, you know, how long did it take you? I know, you know, to find a new home, did you try a few different gyms or what did you do leading up to the decision to join Gracie Tampa South?
I took a minute off. You know, I talked to my girlfriend, who's now my fiance. I'm happily engaged now. I'm going to announce that too.
Congratulations.
we talked about it. You know, I had got to the point where I was like, man, should I keep fighting? She was like, yeah, of course you're going to keep fighting. And I had got to that point where I was just upset how the whole process went down with, you know, with the other gym. But I shouldn't have took it personal. It was just a part of growing, you know, in the sport or whatever. So, because I'm really still young in the sport. I'm an older guy, but I'm still young in the sport itself. So I talked to one of my main sponsor, which is Tough Med. It's a sports injury-related product. My main sponsor, Tough Med, and they got in contact with Matt Arroyo over at Gracie Tampa and said, hey, we got a guy, 205, he's really good, he's undefeated amateur, he has one professional fight on his belt, he's undefeated, so he's really good, he's ready to go, he needs some really good technical training, I think this is a great ground for him, once you guys let him come in and try it out or whatever. So, you know, I was always one of those guys that sat back and looked at other gyms and people said bad, negative things about other gyms. And I was one of the guys also who said a couple of bad things about Gracie myself because of just, you know, they're a big school and, you know, I'm coming from this little small school and things like that. Man, I get over there, man, and they immediately just embraced me, man, you know, showed me so much love, you know, supported me, you know, with my career. And I sat down and talked to Coach Matt Arroyo and asked him and just outlined how I wanted my career to go from this point on. And he was like, hey, we're here for you, man, whatever we got to do. You just do this and we'll do this and you meet each other halfway and you always be professional inside and outside of the gym and we got your back. And I couldn't ask for nothing better than that. You know, as a fighter, as a professional, they're just straight professionals, man. They're straight professionals. And I've grown leaps and bounds, man, but just in my striking, my wrestling, of course, in my jiu-jitsu. And I'm just ready to get in the cage, man, and just prove, you know, what I've learned. You know, I'm just ready to go, man.
Yeah. Right on, man. I'm excited to be there. I'm excited to watch you fight again. I got to watch your last fight and really didn't know much about you at the time. Actually, it was one of my first shows I covered. And now that I know a little bit about you, I'm a big fan of you, of Derv, and of Gion. Looking forward to seeing all three of you guys fight. I know it's going to be a great night of fights. I know it's been kind of a rough year for the RFC, but the RFC's coming back in a big way with a huge, huge fight card. It's going to rock Tampa Bay next weekend, man. Listen, before we get you out of here, I want to give you a chance to give some shout-outs to your sponsors where people can find you on the social media, man, so go ahead.
I appreciate that, man. They can follow me on Twitter at Sean Nightmare Hollis. That's Sean _ Hollis. And they can also hit me up on Facebook under Sean Hollis, is SEANHOLLIS, or they can also hit my fan page on Twitter. I'm sorry, on Facebook, under Sean the Nightmare Hollis. I appreciate that. I'd like to give a shout-out to my main sponsor, who is Tough Med. CEO over there is Dan Green, and they're a sports injury-related product. It's going to be the next big thing. It's going to hit the market here soon. Also, NFE, my supplement sponsor, is Natural Fuel Energy, or No Freaking Excuses. Revis Medical Center, Twins Big City Hot Dogs here in Tampa. It's got the best hot dogs in the business, man. Chicago-style hot dogs, wings, burgers, what have you. And that's about it, man. and I'm ready, just ready to go dominate. I'm looking forward to my fight, and I hope everybody comes out, man, and just witness, you know, total destruction, man, 'cause that's what I'm looking for.
Right on, man. I'm looking forward to it greatly, dude. Yeah. Like I said, man, I'm a big fan, Sean. I've been looking forward to seeing you back in the cage for some time, man. I'm just glad it's finally happening. Thanks for joining us, bro. It's always a pleasure, and I'll see you next Saturday.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, man. You guys be safe.
All right, man. Take it easy, Sean.
All right. Peace.
It's Sean Nightmare Hollis, ladies and gentlemen. Just a great dude, even greater fighter. And like you said, you know, he's ready to just do some destruction in the cage. So it's next Saturday, the A La Carte Pavilion in Tampa, Florida. It's the Real Fighting Championship. It's owned and operated by Joe Valdez. The guy is referred to as the godfather of MMA here in Florida. And he shows that every time they put on a show, man. It's, like I said, it's been, by the time next Saturday comes when the event goes live, it'll have been exactly 1 year since their last event. But you know what? They're going to make up for that by putting on a great night of fights. They've put on 27 great night of fights before, and they're going to do that yet again next Saturday. So check that out. Real Fighting Championships 28 Battle of the Bay at the A La Carte Pavilion, July 26th in Tampa, Florida. So you're going to want to watch that, man. Check it out. If you can't find a way to watch it, MMAMadhouse.com will have live results because I will be there cage side to watch out some great fights. So, yeah, man, he's a good dude. Scary dude, and he's going to bring some pain next Saturday. So, listen, we're going to it's going to be an awesome fight. We're going to stop real quick and give a shout out to some of our sponsors. So,
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Yeah, right on, man. Jax Media Canada, they've been doing some awesome stuff for us. Redid a bunch of our logos. They actually created our Cage Zombies Radio logo, and we love it. If you want, you can check out that logo. What's up?
No, I was just saying, it is sweet. When I first saw it, I was like, damn, this is crazy good, whoever designs this.
If you want to play a game, see how many of the zombies you can find in our name, because there's a few of them there. It's pretty awesome, man. You got the zombie chewing on a brain right in the middle of the word. Dude, it's sick. I stared at that thing for hours, man. That thing's the backdrop on my phone, on two of my computers, on my Facebook page, pretty much everywhere, man. I blasted that logo. I love it. And they've done quite a few logos for us. So it's really awesome of them. We're glad to be in business with Jax Media.
Yeah, man. It's definitely a good partnership right there.
Hey, man. You're covering an event this weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of last second. OFC 17, I was like, well, I don't have any events for another week or two. So I was like, well, I kind of searched around for Ohio MMA, and OFC 17 came up. And I figured, well, I haven't been to one of their cars. Might as well check out, see how they are. And they have a light heavyweight title fight. It's an all-amateur event. But Connor Hina versus Tyler Bostic. And it's not a large fight card, but who knows, the ones that you aren't expecting much out of sometimes are the best ones. So I'm going to be out there in Hilliard, Ohio, checking that out, and we'll see how things go. I'll be reporting live for MMAMadhouse.com, so check out the results on there.
Right on, man. Yeah, man, MMAMadhouse.com, if you don't know, that's our mothership. We're all products of the great MMAMadhouse.com and the great work of Carl Mortensen. You can find live results on there from all around the world, almost on, I'd say, on a weekly basis, but we got Mr. Skippy Cohen, who's got results up almost on a daily basis. So, you know, we're covering stuff anywhere. We're finding ways to cover it. If we're not there in person, we've got great partnerships with websites like Go Fight Live, which is www.gfl.tv. Listen, if you check out a GFL event, They've got events going on all the time from all over the place. You pay for it once, you keep the event for life. You just can't find a deal like that, man. You can watch great MMA for anywhere from $5 to $15, and you're going to keep it for life. So there's just nothing better than that. So, yeah, man, we got the XFC. We have a great partnership going on with the XFC, and they keep giving us great interviews week after week, and we're going to do that yet again this week, and we're going to welcome in Mr. Joby Sanchez right now. How you doing, Joby?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very good, man. Listen, it's awesome having you. We love talking with some of the great XFC fighters, and you're just another one of the great fighters that's in their stable getting ready to go for another fight coming up soon, right?
Exactly. Right now I'm 7 weeks out from fighting here in my hometown.
It's at Albuquerque, New Mexico, right?
Albuquerque, New Mexico, yes, sir.
And who are you fighting against?
Eric Moll, I believe his name is. I've seen him fight before. He's
fine.
He has a fight already with the XFC, so.
Right on. And this is
your
second. This is
going to
be your second fight with the XFC, right?
Unfortunately, yes. It's going to be my second fight with him. Like, should have already had like two or three with them already, but I've been out for a while.
I was about to ask. I was like, what did you mean by unfortunately? I was hoping it wasn't like. I was hoping it was going to go in the way it did. So what happened, man? You just had a couple fights fall through from injuries, or?
Just from one injury, and, yeah, it sucks, because I was getting ready to fight back in February of last year, or February of this year, and I ended up just having a knee injury, and that put me out for a while, but I've been back at it, ready since, like, I've been feeling good since April, training hard every day, and ready to get back in the cage, so.
Right on, dude. Now, you say you're about 7 weeks out, so have you started fight camp yet, or are you just kind of in regular training right now?
I just started fight camp last Friday night, so. I always do an 8-week camp.
Right on. So you do about an 8-week fight camp then?
Yeah, and when I say, like, I'm always training. I'm training 4 or 5 days a week out of the week, year round. But when I say, like, as far as fight camp, that's when things, like, really, when I really intensify things and start diet and stuff like that. So
right on,
that's
man.
What I mean by 8-week fight camp.
So what's the, walk us through your fight camp. You know, a typical fight camp, everything starts out, you know, nice and hard and heavy, which kind of winds down the last week or so. What's Joby Sanchez's fight camp go like?
This one's a little different because I still have another 3 weeks of school, so I'm juggling things, but just hard diet, a lot of cardio, a lot of drilling, hard sparring in the beginning of the fight camp, in the middle of the fight camp. Towards the end, it's more of just combate, just going through the motions, making sure timing's there. Cardio is number one. That's that for every fight camp. Cardio is number one. So I always want to make sure.
Absolutely.
I come in shape. So, as far as fight camp,
now,
that's really good. That's it.
Now on the subject of cardio, you're saying cardio is number one, which cardio should be number one in every fight camp everywhere. But typically, you'll from time to time you see guys come in, you know, and they're gassed out halfway through the first round. Now as a fighter. I love the fact that you're saying cardio is number one, because without cardio, I mean, it don't matter how much other training you do. If you can't breathe, you're gassed out and your heart's pounding a million times a second, then you're really worthless. So, I mean, what's your opinion on guys who kind of overlook cardio to try and build muscle or try and work on other stuff and they neglect their cardio?
It's kind of funny, like, because the guys you see that do it are just great athletes, great natural, like that natural ability to whoop on fools, but if you get a guy that puts hard pressure on them and just really puts a hard pace, you see those guys gas out and their natural ability just to knock everyone out or submit everyone just kind of goes and fades away slowly. So, like I said, cardio is number one, and you've seen the best of fighters that shouldn't get beat because they're tired, because they forget to put on their running shoes, because they don't think they have to, so.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask, man, and I know that fighters, don't typically like to look back on losses and to talk about them. And if you ever want to punch me or knock me off for asking you this, I'll take it. But what happened in the two fights? I see you got two losses. First of all, your first loss to Ronnie White, it says the website's reporting it as 0 seconds into the first round, which I find impossible. So what happened in that fight?
Those aren't pro fights. I don't know if you're looking at my current shoe dog, but as a pro, I'm undefeated. But those are that was actually the first fight, my first MMA fight ever, amateur MMA fight, was against Ronnie White. I don't want to discredit him, but he was a guy that I should have beat. And I went in, we can say I went in there a little arrogant, a little hot-headed, and I had just turned 18. I was excited, my first amateur MMA fight, and went in there and was doing pretty good, and you can see that I was a more technical fighter, and I just got overexcited. I was just inexperienced, got overexcited, and he caught me with a hard left hook. I don't remember seeing it, but they said he caught me with a hard left hook, and I just went to sleep. But that fight taught me a lot. It was a good learning experience. I really changed up my game differently after that fight. I was actually very fortunate. I consider myself fortunate because it was an amateur fight. It was my first amateur fight, and because I've had as a young kid, I've had plenty of kickboxing and boxing fights. But I think I see it as a blessing in disguise losing that fight. The second time I fought him, it was my third amateur fight. We took a different game plan. We wanted to work him on the ground, and I was on top of him the whole first round, ground and pounding, hitting pretty good takedowns. Second round came, I took him down, had his back, started throwing punches. I guess I hit him in the back of the head. there's still an ongoing. I don't know. We'll say I hit him in the back of the head. Ref took a point away from me. They asked him if he can continue. He said no, and I got disqualified because he was unable to continue. So those are two good learning experiences. So
right
the good
on,
thing is those were amateur fights. And what did you do to turn it around? Because, I mean, 4-0 professionally, and that's what everybody looks at. So, I mean, what happened?
I'm just honestly, I don't know. I'm just very passionate about the sport, and I want to give this the best shot I can. The XFC has been real good to me. They're helping me with that. My training camp's been real good to me. They're helping me with that. The Chavez Dojo. My parents, and like I said, I'm just passionate and just working hard. And my goal is just to get better and better each fight, get better and better each time I go to practice. Even if it's a bad practice, I look at it as a learning experience. So I think that's one thing that I've really developed over the years, setting small goals for a long-term goal.
So it's obviously working because 4-0, that's a great start. And I believe your next fight's at flyweight. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Is that a weight that you want to stay at? Is that you're just dropping to that to fight once? Or?
I started off my amateur MMA career at 125. And then towards the end of my amateur career, I went up to 135. Made my pro debut at 135, and everything was good. But I'm learning as each fight goes on, the better the fighter gets, the bigger they get. So right now I'm a small 35-pounder. I walk around 137, 138 if I'm lucky. And
hey,
I'm just learning, I just got to cut the weight. Whether if I really want to do well in the sport, I'm just going to have to cut the weight and go down because I'm fighting guys like Chris Dunn. He was a lot bigger than me. You can see the size difference. I could kind of feel it, and just got something I had to do.
So you now you're walking around not that much heavier than what you fight, so you're not having to cut much weight As we were just talking with Sean Hollis, a fighter out of Tampa, Florida, he's a light heavyweight guy who himself doesn't have to cut a lot. Now, for guys that come in, maybe have to cut 30 pounds, 20 pounds, or whatever, I mean, what's your view on what, I'm kind of dragging this out. What's your view on guys who make excuses for not making weight? Because, I mean, making weight is one of the most important parts of a fighter's job as far as I'm concerned.
I think it should be the easiest part of a fight, honestly. It should, like, if cutting weight's your biggest battle, like, then you're having some problem. You're not looking at the sport right. I don't know, because 30 pounds is a lot. That sounds hard. I wouldn't want to do that. So I can't really have a... I've never cut 30 pounds to make a weight class, so... I really can't give you an honest opinion on that. If that's what they choose to do, then they need to make the weight.
Yeah, I think I used a bad example. I basically was just trying to say weight cut in general. Like, I mean, I threw 30 out as a number, and now that I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, who the hell cuts 30 pounds? But just in general, I mean, cutting weight and being on – when you agree to a fight at a certain weight, you need to make sure you're stepping on the scale of that weight, and I should have just used a generalization rather than pulling the example, because I guess 30 pounds is a bad example. You're right. I don't know. People aren't really – if they're cutting 30 pounds, then they probably should be reevaluating their decisions. But I just threw that out as kind of a random number. I just wonder a fighter's perspective basically on guys who miss weight. Because, I mean, it's from the outside point of view, it looks disrespectful. It looks unprofessional.
I agree, yeah, I do agree. I agree that it does look unprofessional. It's part of your job, like, it's part of the fight. But if my opponent doesn't make weight, I'm not going to not fight him because of something like that, personally. That's just me, though.
So
if you stay at 125, will you make that decision after this fight, or is that permanent as of now?
I want to say it's permanent, but let's take one fight at a time.
Very, very true. I'm not trying to pressure you to make that decision.
But, yeah, no, well, I think 125 is the weight class for me. So
where do you train out there? What school are you training out of?
I train out of the Chavez Dojo out here. It's in the South Valley of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm also training at Gracie Baja with under Rafael Barata de Fritas. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, real good guy. Here at Chavez Dojo, I'm training under Grandmaster Malford Chavez. I've been with Grandmaster Chavez since I was 7 years old, so, and I'm 22.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. You said you made your amateur debut you made just after turning 18. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, I know two fighters down here in Tampa that have done that recently, where they've one guy made his amateur debut on his 18th birthday. Another one was a young girl who made it just a few days after. Do you feel like, and you said you've changed your game a lot from there, you've grown up a lot since then, but do you feel like already spending the majority of your life training, being ready for that moment, would you, if you could go back in time and change that, would you have waited to make your amateur debut, or do you think making your amateur debut when you did has helped you become, you know, the fighter you are today?
I think it helped me become the fighter I am today. Like you said, it's just amateur. That's where you're supposed to get most of your learning done. And if you, like, what I don't recommend is people doing, like, turning 18 and turning pro. That's one thing I don't recommend. But I think, like, right at 18 is a good time to start amateur MMA career. And I'm personally glad that I did.
Right on. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I know from what I saw, the kid who I know, his name's Preston Reed, he's a young guy. He made his amateur debut on his 18th birthday. You know, the excitement in his eyes, the passion in his eyes for it was just awesome to see. He went out, lost a close decision, but he was more than ecstatic about it. You know, he didn't even care so much about the loss. He was just so ecstatic that he finally was able to get in the cage and to begin this dream he had. That I think it's a good experience. I think that if you've put in the training, such as yourself, where you've trained most of your life, going out and making your debut in the cage as soon as legally possible, I think it's an awesome thing, and I think it makes for a great experience down the road in your career.
Exactly. And for the long run, it's for the better. So, and like, I don't know anywhere else, but here in Albuquerque, you're still able to fight boxing and kickboxing as if you fight amateur cage. I'm not sure about anywhere else, so it's not like you can't get that experience from anywhere else.
Yeah.
In other aspects.
Now, what's been your experience so far with the XFC, man? The XFC is, you know, they're an awesome promotion, and they've got some big things coming up. They're expanding. They're getting ready to go international. What's your experience been like so far with that promotion?
They're awesome to me. Mr. Crisco is teaching very well. So does TJ. And they've been really good to me, and I'm very happy with the organization. Very happy to be a
right
part
on,
of
man.
It.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. One of the best promotions in the business. Both TJ Alcock and John Prisco are two of the best guys in this business, and they're doing really big things for the XFC.
Yeah, they both are, and Mr. Prisco is passionate about what he does and passionate about his business. So I wouldn't want to be a part of something such as that.
Yeah. So what do you do, man? I know, you know, fighters don't really have off time. You guys are pretty much, if you're not training for a fight, you're training just to train and stay at the top of your game. But, you know, when you get to relax, I mean, I don't know, you're a young guy. You say you're like 22. You know, I don't know if you got a family or yet. Or what do you do to kick back and relax?
Well, right now, I don't have a family. I live with my parents still. I work. I'm getting my EMT basic right now, to hopefully eventually become a firefighter one day once my fighting career is over. And all I really do is train. I hang out with friends and train. So.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That you mentioned that there's a fighter out of Texas who I've interviewed before, Jacob Silva, who's doing the same thing. He's young, close to your age, and he's fighting. He loves fighting, but he's going to EMT school training to be a firefighter, and that's actually one of his bigger passions in life. So now you say, you know, once you finish your fighting career, you're pursuing firefighting now. How long has firefighting been a passion of yours?
It's always been either wanting to become a police officer or a firefighter. It's always been one or the other for the longest time that I've known. More recently, I have just, like, wanted to be more of a firefighter, because before it was just I just wanted to get into the Albuquerque Police Department here and do that, but more recently I've been leaning towards the fire department. So, not too long.
Nice. Now, going back to your fight, I know you haven't seen much on Erica Moel. Sorry, what's that? I know you haven't seen much film on him yet, or... he has 3 submission wins. That's what I'm getting from what I've looked up. And you have 3 subs and a TKO. Where do you want this fight to take place? Is there any specific place? Are you comfortable everywhere?
I'm comfortable everywhere. He just better come ready to fight, because I'm going to bring the pressure on him and bring the fight to him. No matter where it's at, I'm going to bring the fight to him.
Sounds good, man. Sounds like you're confident with all aspects of the sport. And do you get that from your training, or is that just your personality?
I get that from my training. I train long and hard enough where I can feel confident with each fight goes on. Am I saying I'm ready to take on the world champ? No. I still have a lot of learning to do. There's a lot of holes in my game. But like I said, small goals to make it my long-term goal.
That sounds like you're a down-to-earth kind of dude who knows what he needs to do to win. Yeah, man. I mean, sounds like you have a great gym out there.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Joby, man, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Before we let you go, though, want to give you some time, give some shout-outs to any authors, you know, family, friends, where people can find you on social media, man. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, first I want to thank my parents. Without them, without their support and everything, I wouldn't be able to do this without them. Dominic and Carlos, of course, my two brothers. I would like to thank the whole Chavez Dojo with Grandmaster Chavez, Coach Manny Garcia. I'd like to thank Professor Barata with Gracie Baja in New Mexico. I'd like to thank all my sponsors with Brisa and the Herbalife crew. Of course, I'd like to thank Duke City CrossFit, my strength and conditioning camp. Those guys are awesome over there. And I'd like to thank Albuquerque, New Mexico. I love this city. So.
Right on.
And,
man.
Of course, one more. XFC.
Oh, go ahead.
And the XFC and President Prisco.
Right on, man. Now, where can people find you on social media?
I have two different Facebooks, Joby Sanchez, and you can find me on Twitter. Just type in Joby Sanchez, and I'm all there.
Right on, man. Well, listen, dude, thanks for joining us, man. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Looking forward to seeing your fight at XFC 25, man. So take care. Have a great fight camp.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, man.
No problem, man.
You guys have a good night.
You too, dude. All right, man, that's Joby Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him fighting at XFC 25. Sounds pumped, sounds ready to go. It's going to be a good fight, man. It's going to be an XFC card. There's no way it can go bad. These guys are going to put on a stacked show no matter where they're at. They're going to put on great fights, and it's going to be an amazing night of fights. And the XFC always provides that, and it's going to be the same come XFC 25 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah, listen, man, I talk a little bit about the fight I was at last weekend. The Arena Fighting Championships, oh, you have to excuse me, I'm drinking some ice cold beer, so sometimes beer likes to give you some nice little comebacks. But anyways, Arena Fighting Championships, man, out of Port Richey, Florida this last weekend, man, some great fights went down, some great schools came from around the state. Got to give a big shout-out, man. You know, I messed with Michael Gattuso from the Global Fighting Solutions, one of the top, no, you know what, is the top sanctioning body here in the state of Florida. I see him all the time at fights, and we talk, and I actually got to sit with him this last fight and just messing with him, teasing him throughout the night, and he's a great dude, and he is in high demand. If you're listening or if this hits your ears, man, if you're in the state of Florida, you want to hit up Global Fighting Solutions. You want them sanctioning your fights. They do it top-notch. They bring professionalism, class, and top-notch sportsmanship to every event they cover. So check them out. Contact Michael Gattuso or contact Global Fighting Solutions at globalfightingsolutions.com. Just awesome guys. But it's a great night of fights. Got to give a shout-out to two of my teammates, man, Brandon Deskins and Zenon Herrera out of Gator MMA and Team Macho Fighter, Team Gator. Brandon Deskins went out and got his first career win. It's his second fight. He lost his last fight on a close decision. But went out this time, got a beautiful submission win, choked the guy out, just phenomenal jits, and came home with a big win. Zenon Herrera, you know, on the other hand, got caught early in the fight in a rear naked choke and was forced to tap. But in wins and losses, it doesn't matter. Zenon Herrera exemplifies class and sportsmanship, you know. Most guys, I think, in his situation after losing like that, probably going to get up, probably be pissed, probably going to slam around, be pissed off, not want to shake their hands. But Z, after getting tapped out, stands up, turns around, picks his opponent up, lifts his opponent's hand, and then the two gyms pose together with their respective country's flags because his opponent was from somewhere in Europe. I've drawn a blank on where. Took a big picture together. There was lots of congratulatories and great sportsmanship going around. So it doesn't matter win or loss. Zenon Herrera has more heart than most fighters could ever understand. And he will be back better and stronger and smarter. So it was a good night of fights, though, all around. And Arena Fighting Championships, they'll be back on September. It's going to be their next event. So Just want to give a shout out there. I've been out this week, so I haven't really been up to date in a lot of the news that's going on. I did see, I don't know if you saw this, Spencer, but I'm sure you did, but Anderson and Chris Weidman officially agreed to the rematch. I don't think the papers are signed yet, but they're saying at UFC 168, I believe, out in December, going to be the rematch between Silva and Weidman.
Yeah, Silva and Weidman headlining it, and then Rousey and
Tate.
And Tate.
I got to say, man, that's kind of some like disrespect, right? You know, just a couple weeks ago, Dana White was talking about how excited he was for Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate to be the main event of that fight, of that event, saying that without a doubt they're the main event. They're headlining the card. And it's going to be a great card. And then, boom, all of a sudden you got Anderson and Weidman as the headliners now. That's kind of a smack in the face from Zuffa to women's MMA. And I think
you know Dana doesn't care. It's all about the money, and that's going to be a car that draws a bunch of money. And I did read something about Rousey not caring. Honestly, I don't like Rousey, so I was like, ha.
I don't know.
But
I don't care. I don't care who beats her, man. I just want somebody to beat her.
I don't know.
Are you saying you're going to beat up on a woman, man? That's kind of classless, bro.
No. I said somebody for me.
Oh, I thought you said or you. I'm like, dang, dude, you calling out a girl? Are you Brian Caraway now? I thought only Brian Caraway was the class fool who called out women in the sport.
That is a good reference. I think Carl wants to run an ad here.
Right on. Go ahead, Carl. Let's give a shout out to one of our sponsors.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong, rigid, unyielding. Get cast iron strong.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio 10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
That is absolutely right. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation Clothing, and nobody makes t-shirts like Intimidation Clothing. Affordable,
that's
comfortable,
truth.
Stylish, it's just the best. And as far as cast iron supplements go, if you're putting stuff in your body, if you're making sure you want to be healthy and getting your body in the right shape it should be, you want to check out cast iron supplements. Make sure you're using the best. So, absolutely, man. Great sponsors. We want to thank you for all of our sponsors, man. But,
we just get rolling to the point where we have to play the ads, man. I know we want to talk about MMA. I apologize, guys.
Carl's got to just start cutting us off, man. He's got to just feel like, all right, just don't even give us a chance. Just boom, punch that ad
just
and we'll shut up.
Mid-sentence.
Yeah, mid-sentence, man.
No, to answer your question earlier when you were talking to Joby Sanchez, who cuts 30 pounds, Anthony Rumble Johnson. He doesn't do it successfully, but he tries.
Yeah, he's had a couple good fights as of late. But, yeah, man, I'm just throwing a number out there, man. I don't even have a computer in front of me. I'm kind of, like, going raw this week and just kind of winging it and doing my best here. I'm sitting in my girlfriend's little stepbrother and stepsister's room trying to get some solitude here so I can run this show and be able to do the show tonight, man. And just so I don't even have a computer in front of me. So I just kind of threw out a number. And as he was talking about it, I was thinking, I was like, 30 pounds? I'm like, nobody cuts 30 pounds? Like where did I pull that from? So I just was kind of trying to use an example. Didn't exactly choose the right example.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I imagine that's the same as trying to be on the air from a dorm room. That's what I was last winter, so.
Right on, man. Listen, let's give some shout-outs also to our fellow sister shows here. We got The Rogue Show every Friday night, Madhouse Live, you know, every Wednesday night, Cage Fire Radio every Tuesday night, and of course we got Cage Zombies Radio right here Thursday nights. And then the old timers get rocking Saturday nights before the nursing homes put them to bed. You can check out Full Guard Fight Radio every Saturday with the madman, Mr. Carl Mortensen, and my former co-host and fellow Florida MMA coverer, Mr. Jason Iceman London. I think I just made that nickname up for him, but I think it's going to stick. The Iceman and the madman. That's what they should call the show, actually. I don't know, man. I know Carl's back in the behind the scenes here, but they should call that show Madman and Iceman.
Hey, it works. It flows nicely. Hey,
anyway,
listen, are you going to check out Legacy FC 21 tomorrow?
Me? I will find a way to watch it. I won't be able to watch it live, though, because I'll be driving. But I will. If I'm not watching it live, I'll figure it out a way. But, yeah, you want to check that out, man. Legacy Fighting Championships, too. They put on great fights, and nobody covers – no TV channel covers MMA like Axis TV. I know you got some of these channels like Mav TV. They cover King of the Cage for you, but Axis TV brings you XFC. It brings you Legacy. It brings you Lion Muay Thai fights. I'm drawing a blank, man, but they bring you so many different promotions. Axis TV is where it's at for MMA coverage. You know, Spike's got Bellator now. The Fox channels have UFC from time to time, but nobody covers the MMA, local MMA, the MMA that fuels this industry like Axis TV. So check that out. And, of course, GFL, www.gfl.tv. Nobody's covering your online pay-per-views like GFL does, so check them out as well. Listen, we want to say thanks again to our sponsors, Brawl Base, Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, Cast Iron Supplements, Draco Sports, Pro-Am Belts, and Intimidation Clothing and Gator MMA. Thank you each and one of our sponsors. Thank you for joining us this Thursday. I know it was a little bit of a shorter show. We'll be back next week with a full two-hour set, have a couple more interviews, have some more time. We'll do some just BS and some MMA talks, take some open calls. We want to thank again, man, Mr. David Bradbury. I've been thinking about him throughout the week and checking out his Facebook page. David Bradbury, a guy who called in last week, and we got to talk with him for a few minutes. Just absolute pleasure. And the guy's making his officially sanctioned fighting debut coming up real soon. So we'll be following along with that and let you guys know how he's doing. But, yeah, man, so as always, Spencer, it's a pleasure. And we'll be back next Thursday.
Tune in.
Thursday, 10 p.m., Cage Zombies Radio. Check us out, Cage Zombies Radio on Facebook, MMAMadhouse.com. Support local MMA, let no champion struggle.
Transform, reborn, love. Time to disperse. Party's over.